ladies and gentlemen, and fellow golfers, for your entertainment.
It's the Golf to Go Hour with Frank LaRosa, brought to you by the Hagen Oaks Golf Super Shop, America's most awarded golf facility. Naturewood Home Furnishings, where it's all about choices and always about quality.
Welcome in to the Golf to Go Radio Hour here on Sactown Sports 1140. I'm Frank LaRosa. I'll be with you for the next hour, along with Scott Marsh sitting beside. And Scott, you and I had a chance to attend the Fortinet Championship Media Day on Monday, and as always, it was a lot of fun. And we learned some things, and we're gonna play some of the audio that that we had during that press conference, and let people know what's in store for the tournament this year.
Yeah, lots of changes. And of course, you hosted that press conference and we spoke to Max Homa. We're going to hear from him, two-time defending champion, talk about that miracle shot on 18 that we had a chance to take during our round on Monday. And then Jim Overbeck, who's the outstanding senior vice president of marketing with Fortinet, along with Andy McDowell, the tournament director.
You have nailed all the people. Yeah, I was really impressed with Max Homa, and he has a there was a funny story about how Max came to the tournament, and everything turned out for the best, as he is the two-time defending champion and looking forward to coming back.
Yeah, great turnout on Monday for that event, for the press conference, and Frank, you did a wonderful job emceeing that, as you always do.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. It was fun to do. So we will be back with information from the Fortinet Championship on the Golf to Go Radio Hour right after this. Coming up also on the show today, Mr. Adam Johnson, owner of Golf Fitness Solutions, to talk about the importance of the core in the golf swing, and certainly about the fundraiser he is hosting at Northridge Country Club on August 12th. It's a poker tournament that really is a lot of fun. And Scott, you and I had a chance to play last year, and we'll be there again this year.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Adam's a great guy. He always gives back. It's a wonderful tournament. And he looks like Joel Damon. So there you go. You can't see him, but that's what he looks like. I thought he was playing in the Barracuda when I was watching that a couple of weeks ago.
Golf to Go Radio Hour continues right after this.
It's the Golf to Go Hour with Frank LaRosa on Sactown Sports.
So I'd like to turn it over to a man who probably does not need an introduction to most here. He's Sacramento's voice of golf. He's a distinguished member of the media. He's covered golf for decades. His list of accolades is longer than my putts per round here at Silverado, so I won't cover them all. He's the host of Golf to Go and a great friend of the Fortinet Championship, Frank LaRosa.
Thank you, Andy. I'm still trying to wrap my head around that list myself, so thank you very much. Welcome, everybody. Thank you so much for being here. Andy, the one thing that I do have to say before we get started is Jim and I obviously got the memo on the black shirts with the red collar. You picked up on the red.
He's so new.
Yeah,
new.
Okay. That's right, first year.
Rookie mistake.
Thank you. Thank you for the introduction. Thank you all for being here. What a beautiful day we're going to have outside, and we're going to have some fun here this morning, and then get out on the golf course. So I will not bore you with talking about me. I'm going to introduce my seatmate, Mr. Jim Overbeck. Jim has spent his entire career working to help some customer challenges in the IT industry. He is the Senior Vice President of Marketing at Fortinet and a member of the executive staff. Over the last almost 20 years, his talent and efforts have helped Fortinet grow from a 10 million with an M startup company to an industry leader with over 5 billion with a B in revenue. It's pretty impressive. Good morning, Jim.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Andy alluded to the fact that this was his first year, but you are headed into your third year of the Fortinet Championship. And obviously, you've had great success. Can you assess that success a little bit for us, the first 2 years? And what do you think about this upcoming third year?
Yeah, it's been great. I can't believe this is year three. It's been wild. It's been a great thing for Fortinet. The company really just has rallied around this concept. It's sort of our Super Bowl, if you will. And so the fact that we're headquartered 80 miles south of here, right outside San Jose and Sunnyvale, in Napa is such a great place. There's a lot of, there's about 40 something tournaments in the U.S. but there's only one Napa. You know, and it's a global destination. It's a great place to be able to invite people to come, learn about our brand, enjoy, you know, the experience. And there's golf, it's the food, it's the wine, it's the weather, it's the people. So it's just great for our company to be able to associate with the Napa community and with golf in this way. It's really unique.
You have an incredible champion, Max Homa, who back-to-back, that's pretty impressive.
Back-to-back, yeah.
What's it like having Max as a Fortinet ambassador?
Yeah, it's amazing. We only have two people on the PGA Tour that wear our logo on their shirts, Max Homa and David Lipsky. And Max has won our tournament the last 2 years. And he really, if you know anything, if you followed his career, he's had trials and tribulations. I mean, it took him his third time to get his PGA Tour card. He lost his caddy, couldn't afford his caddy. He's a grinder. He really just outworks the competition. And that really fits with our mentality at Fortinet. We just really work hard and try to do things right. He has no ego as well. I spend time with him on the course. I was with him in Scotland. Is zero ego, right? And I think that's sort of how we are at Fortinet as well. We just try to do things right, be good to people, do it the right way. But we don't try to, you know, more steak than sizzle, right? And so he fits in perfectly. And the fact that we've had our own brand ambassador win our tournament, you know how hard that is. I mean, there's 156 players out there. And he wins on a chip in last year, and then Danny Willett misses, you know, three putts from 43 inches. It was written in the stars, right? So I think I took one of the guys that was next to me when Willett missed the second putt and Max ended up winning. I think I threw him supposedly a few feet in the air. I don't remember it, but that's the rumor. So
if Max wins again this year, you may have trouble getting people to come.
Right. He can't afford not to come. So,
you know, it's interesting, again, going back to the beginning and Fortinet coming in and kind of rescuing this tournament. You didn't stop there, though. You've had this global footprint now in the world of golf and gotten much deeper involved. Tell us a little bit about Fortinet and the world of golf.
Yeah, it was funny. In January 21, I had this little idea and this thing landed on my desk. There's a tournament in Napa, and I thought, I've been here at that point 17 years. There's no way Fortinet's going to spend any money for a PGA tournament, but I'll float it past the CEO. He likes golf. Next thing you know, we signed 3 months later, we signed a 6-year deal, and here we are. And then all of a sudden, it started this avalanche of global golf sponsorships. I mean, we have the Fortinet Championship in Australia. We have the, the drive to the Fortinet Championship where we take that semi, you'll see it parked out here in the Oval. The week of the tournament, we take that to 18 PGA Tour stops, and it's technology showcase on wheels. And that's 72 days of activation and with suites at every tournament. And then we have the Fortinet Cup in Canada. So the entire series is called the Fortinet Cup. We have the DP World Tour, or the official cybersecurity partner of the DP World Tour. And in Europe, they use a lot, in the PGA Tour, they're starting to use a lot more of our technologies as well. On the female side, we have the BMW championship in Korea is we're the official cybersecurity partner of that. The Queen City Classic in Cincinnati, we're the official cybersecurity partner of that. We have two LPGA players in Allison Lee and Andrea Lee. We had two NIL players in Rachel Heck and Rose Zhang, and Rose just went public, what should I say? She just went pro. So we've had a lot going on. We also have we had the Fortinet Girls Championship for the American Junior Golf Association. We're their official DEI partner. And so we had the women's Fortinet Invitational at Stanford. And it's one of the top American Junior Golf Association female tournaments. And it's just on and on. And there's other things I'm missing, I'm sure. But that's a lot of them. And that's all in the last 2 years. And we've found this great relationship between golf and networking, both physical networking and people, and in our brand. And it's just really worked out well. And our executives love it. And it's really just been a nice springboard for us.
Springboard, yeah. I mean, you have already have a full plate. And my guess is, knowing you, Jim, there's probably more in the horizon.
We're not
even aware of.
Tap the brakes for a second. Yeah, it's been great.
One of the most exciting parts of a golf tournament is finding out who gets the exemptions. You know, who are the people that finally get a chance to live a dream? Who can tell us a little bit about exemptions this year?
Yeah, so there, golf tournament, you get 8 total exemptions. Exemption is people that don't qualify on their own number, and some of those are restricted, and some of those are reserved for people that have their tour card, and there's a few that are not. They're unrestricted, and so there's two really neat stories, I think, what we're doing with those this year. One is there's a men's college tournament at Sahali up outside Seattle called the Players Championship or the Players Tournament. And so that happens on September 9th and 10th. And the winner of that tournament, a collegiate student who's going to win that tournament, is going to be playing and teeing it up the next week right here at the Silverado for their first ever PGA start. So that's a pretty good, not only do they get a nice medal or trophy, whatever they get, oh, by the way, you're headed to Napa to golf with the pros. So that's pretty cool. And then, and we just had a nice tech summit at Sahali about 2 or 3 weeks ago. So there's a nice integration we've had with that club. And then also the Fortinet Cup in Canada. So that it's a 12 or 13 week long series. The champion of the Fortinet Cup in Canada will also earn an exemption to the Fortinet Championship. And that too is the weekend prior. So there's going to be a couple people packing their bags and going, you know, coming to Napa the next week. They'll be pretty excited.
That's fabulous.
Yep.
Charity and golf. We look over here, we can see some of the checks to some of the charities you're supporting. That's the feel good portion of all of this, that you're able to help some local folks. Tell us why you do it, and you know, golf and charity go hand in hand, but why is it that Fortinet feels it's important to sponsor a charity in the local area?
Yeah, you know, this is the piece that probably caught me a little bit off guard, in the sense that we were excited to have a tournament. We looked at the business aspect of it, but really the driving force is, you know, this was the bonus, the benefit. And it's something that really drives me now, is the fact that all this hard work and everything we do ultimately results in supporting the local community and the charities. That wasn't really on our radar out of the gate. You know, we knew that it was a charitable component, but the fact that we get to today, you know, we're standing there with the people, we're handing out the checks, we're taking the pictures, and we're making an impact in the community, and we're just getting started. You know, we're figuring out, when you run a tournament, and we're different than the previous sponsor, each the mechanics are different, and Andy will talk about a lot of the changes we're making this year, and there's substantial changes we're making this year on the course and to the overall fan experience and with everything. Is when we had to figure out that Rubik's Cube of what the right combination was. And I think we've got it. We've got it this year. And we're excited because this is just a start. This year, we're handing out $250,000 in charitable donations, which is not a small number, but I expect, I'm pushing. I want to see a seven figure, right? I want to get up there. And I think we're on that track. We've figured out, I think it took us a couple of years. We've really figured out what that right combination is. And now it's go time. So as I told the folks, we're handing out checks. You know, I hope we can continue to do more charities and bigger checks to the charities that we're supporting, because that's important. It's all about the local community, and we want Napa to lean into us, and we're trying to lean in as much as possible back.
What kind of effect do you think the larger community that the Fortinet Championship and the donations to charity, what do you think that means more to the larger community of Napa in particular?
Well, hopefully a lot, because I know it's, when you do these things, you know, you have these tournaments coming to town, and there's a little bit of a trade-off, right? There's inconvenience factor. There's, you know, places get slowed down and it's hard to, you know, get around, and we really bog the city down. I think the economic impact report I saw, you know, Fortinet Championship brings in a little over $18 million in the local community, just in additional revenue. That's good too, right? So you need the tax revenue, and then you also have the charitable component. And so we want the community to be excited about what we're doing, and we're trying to do our best to make sure that they have a good experience. And I think that's the biggest area of improvement is this year, is the on-course fan experience, the volunteer experience, everybody that comes here. So if maybe they didn't have the greatest experience last year or the year before, not only was it ever a bad experience, but I think we've really, really zeroed in, and Andy and I, from day one, focus on how can we make sure that anybody steps foot on the course has the best experience possible. And that's really more the local community is what supports, you know, golf in this area. You know, some people fly in, but most of it, we need to draw from the Bay Area and north.
Yep. Andy, that kind of moves us over to you, Jim, talking about fan experience. What do you get on tap, and what can we expect, and how are we going to be excited?
Well, we've got three notable enhancements to share today, and we really spent the offseason looking at this from a different lens, and we wanted to build upon the foundation we've had, and we wanted to challenge ourselves to think, how can we enhance the experience for our spectators, for our sponsors, and for our PGA Tour players? So with a lot of help and vision from Jim and Fortinet and Todd Shallon from Silverado and the PGA Tour and our volunteers and countless other people, we're happy to announce three big uh, three big changes today. Number one, our spectators and our patrons will now park on site at Silverado on the South Course. We are borrowing five holes from the South Course to park our spectators there. Daily parking passes are just $25. We'll have two ramps the spectators can use to entrance off of Hillcrest Avenue. Big game changer, right? I've spent, several weeks this past year traveling around to other PGA Tour events, and there's not one I went to, even with my tour credential, that I was able to park as close as our guests will be able to park in this upcoming year. So we're really excited for that. We're very appreciative of Todd and the gentleman staying next to him, David Walter, who's our agronomist and superintendent, who's going to be tasked with helping us get that golf course back quickly. And we have no doubt that we will. Along with that came change number two, and that is a completely new fan entrance and fan village. So after our guests park on the South Course and enjoy a very short walk along the South Course under beautiful oak trees, they'll cross the creek bed out by the Grove area. Now, if you're familiar with the course, our spectators will come in over the creek right by tee box number two on the South Course, and they will immediately be immersed in our new fan village area, which is the convergence of the new 15th green, the concert venue, the entrance. We'll have sponsor activations out there. We'll have food trucks. We'll have picnic tables. We'll have, I'm going to share a list of some of the local businesses that will be out there serving food, because we're really excited about that. And we wanted our fans to come in and know that they were in Napa. We wanted them to be immersed in a Napa experience right away. So we'll have Bouchon Bakery cookies. We'll have world famous Model Bakery English muffins, the original burger dogs back, empanadas from El Porteño, and a host of sweets from a local business, the Chocolate Dippery. We'll have a Mount Gay rum bar out there. We'll have a Michelob Ultra lounge. We'll have our Under Armour merchandise tent, Olakai sandals and golf shoes. It's going to be really neat that all of our fans are going to see this immediately as they walk in. And then that venue will be a dual purpose venue for us, because all of those things will now be open for the concerts. So where we had to kind of separate fans before between food and beverage and concessions and breaking things up, they'll be able to use those picnic tables, those highboys, those concessions, all those shopping options will be available for the duration of both of our concerts on Friday and Saturday night. And then the third change was we've rerouted the golf course. There are 10 holes that are going to be played in a different order. Holes 1 through 7 won't change, and hole 18 won't change. The other holes are being played in a different order. And we did that for a few different reasons. Number one, we didn't have a par 3 as a finishing hole in the last three holes. And when you think of, iconic tournaments and golf courses like the Masters and Augusta or Pebble Beach, there's always a par 3 late. And members number 11 is the most iconic par 3 on the course. It's a beautiful hole. It was not really seen very often on TV, especially late in the round. So it started with that. How do we make that signature hole a part of the finishing hole? So that now turns into tournament 17. And you'll see on the maps in your packet there, we took members 8, 9, 10, 11 into tournament 14, 15, 16, 17. And now from a pedestrian standpoint and a fan experience standpoint, we have a very accessible and easy to walk final five holes. And I think Jim and I did some rough math from the entrance to the fan village here. It's about 600 yards tops of a walk to get to any of those holes. And we know that a lot of golf fans like to follow featured groups and players, but few of them follow them for a true 18 holes, right? You want to follow them for 5 or 6 holes. You want to see them finish. You want to enjoy some food. You want to enjoy some wine or some beverages. And so now it gives us a great opportunity to cater to both the hospitality clients who are going to be on those holes, but also the daily grounds general admission ticket buyer who's going to have this really easy 5-hole loop. So we're really excited to see that come to fruition and to really see how this fan village not only enhances the experience this year, but grows in future years.
That's a mouthful. And speaking about, you had me at Burger Dog. I mean, absolutely. It'll be fun, actually. 17 being the last hole and getting some TV time because I can brag about how many balls I've actually put in that lake. You mentioned tickets. So what's new there? Anything?
Yeah, so a couple new things. But what stayed the same, our daily grounds general admission ticket price is the same as last year. We want to keep that as affordable as possible on non-concert days. Our daily grounds ticket is $45, $75 on concert days. And one thing I wanted to emphasize that I'm not sure we've promoted as much as we could have in the past, and that is our youth policy. Youth 15 and under are allowed free admission up to 4 kids per 1 paid adult.
Wow.
So if you look at how much it costs to bring a family of 4 out, I mean, for $90 with 2 adult tickets, 2 free kids, and $25 in parking, that doesn't get you, an outfield seat in the bleachers at some of the Major League Baseball parks. Our premium pass returns, that's been a very popular product for us. It's a shared hospitality product. And what's neat about that product is the 15th hole will be our hub. So the hub for the premium pass used to be behind 1. It's moved to 15, and 15 is now a double-sided venue. So folks with a premium pass can watch golf by day, and they have a really cool party deck to turn around off the backside to watch concert by night. And that pass comes with fully hosted beer, wine, soft drinks, and lunch every day. It includes snacks the evenings of the concerts, and cocktails are available for purchase. There'll also be a second location along a finishing stretch of holes that premium pass customers can also go up there to enjoy some very close to the player viewing. And then the last thing quickly was we added a new Vintners Club this year. It's a beautiful private chalet on the 18th hole. It's an upgraded shared hospitality product. It'll be our highest level of food and beverage offerings on the course. Great menu, great seating. We'll have daily wine or spirits tastings. Our friends who are here from the Napa Valley Vine Trail have some great brands that are going to do some sampling for us. Bushmills is going to sample some 18 and 21 year old whiskey. We'll have the mascot, a great local red wine out. And then we're close to finalizing a deal for a tequila tasting. So yes, Frank, you're more than welcome to join us on any day at the Vintners Club or at the Vintners Club. That's your compensation for today.
You know, when you think of, as you're talking, I'm thinking about that first year. You know, Jim, when you basically came in and just tried to get a golf tournament on, and now obviously with time under your belt, there's a lot of thought that's been going into all of this stuff. Congratulations, nice.
Thanks.
One of the separators, obviously, for this tournament is the concerts, and people get really excited. You don't have to enjoy golf, you know, to come to a concert. You can be around a golf environment. And hopefully that's enough to kind of get people to want to try the game. But what can we expect in concerts this year?
Let me take that.
Go ahead. Well, yeah, right. 1+1 coming August 8th.
Right. I'm not allowed. He's worried I'm gonna say something I'm not supposed to. So, so
you've never done that.
Not yet in the last hour. So what we have is. Friday night and Saturday night are the public concerts. And then we have on Tuesday night, we leverage that exact same venue for the Pro-Am pairing party. So the Pro-Am pairing party is down there on the fairway. We have a really nice dinner. And then we have Charles Kelly, who's the male lead singer of Lady A, is going to be singing. And the members here, there's a notice going out. We welcome them to come down with their golf carts and enjoy that on Tuesday night as well, bring their own coolers, whatever, while we're kind of having our little hoity-toity thing. They can enjoy and hang out and do their stuff. And then on Friday night, we have Judah and the Lion is opening up, and they're kind of a folk rock band out of Nashville. And then they have Brothers Osborne as a big country act, and they're playing on Friday night. And then Saturday night, I'm not allowed saying who it is until August.
We have a contractual commitment. And we can't,
but I can tell you, if you grew up and you liked kind of 90s alternative rock, you'll love the double feature we have going on. And we have to wait to announce that on August 8th.
You can whisper it to me. They can't hear that.
I'll tell you, I'm mic'd up.
Is our guest ready?
Yeah. It's the Golf to Go Hour with Frank LaRosa on Sactown Sports.
The two-time champion for the Fortinet Championship. Welcome, Mr. Max Homa.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
Max, welcome to the Fortinet Championship Media Day. Thanks so much for being with us. Congratulations, as I suggested, on your back-to-back wins. What are you thinking? Are you going three in a row this year?
I mean, that's the plan. You don't get that opportunity very often in this game, so I love the chance to make that happen. So that will be the plan. I'm looking forward to being back up in Napa in a couple months.
New course routing this year. Have you had a chance to look at that? And what do you think about that?
I have not. I wish they just keep it exactly the same as the last 3 years, if I'm being quite honest. But it'll be a nice new challenge. So I'm looking forward to getting up there and checking out what's what. But like I said, if they would have just kept it exactly the same, I think I would have been all right.
What's it like being the Fortinet ambassador? You know, having won this tournament a couple of times. What's that mean to you? And again, what's that mean for this year?
It's been great. Obviously, last year getting to win with the patch on my arm. Me and Jim had a nice moment on the 18th green, which was cool. Getting to do the Q&A on site. Getting to do to host the all the clients and everybody. I think it was on Wednesday with David. Was really fun. So it's always extra special. Obviously, winning is fun. Winning all that is always fun. But to get to do it when you know the people associated with the event, you know how much hard work was put into that. And then to have that kind of success is one of those dream come true type moments.
Speaking of success, you've had some success this year. Congratulations on your first top 10 in a major. And what do you think about your season so far and about the golf season in general?
Yeah, it's been good. This has been my best one yet. I'm really proud of the consistency I've had this year. I will say it's always really nice getting off to a good start, obviously, at the Fortinet, getting a win and feeling like your season's off and running. You never know what you're going to get in golf. So it's nice to know you still have it. I don't know. This year has been great. I've had, you know, like a normal year, I've had some low points, but I've had a lot more highs. I'm excited for the playoffs in a couple weeks time to keep the thing rolling. But it has been just, a lot of hard work paying off and feeling and seeing that consistency on a weekly basis has been a big, something I just carry a lot of pride in.
So Max, so far, it's Jim Everbeck here, bud. So 8, 9, 10, and 11 are now 14, 15, 16, and 17. That's the kind of the major change. So 11, there you go. I thought you had this committed to memory.
I got you. I had to piece it together.
Yeah. So 11, the par three across water is now 17.
Awesome.
All right. And then work your way back. Three.
Very cool. I like that. I mean, that 17th hole is the best, of the amphitheaters out there, minus 18. They always have the cool kind of chalet in the back. Obviously, it's a pretty tricky little par three with a lot of danger short and right. So I think that'll be great. I don't know, the event, especially finishing on the 18th hole, whatever you do with the routing, it'll always work when you can finish like that, because it's a stout par five. It's got a lot of birdie opportunities, but if you miss that fairway hitting that right bunker, there's a lot of trouble. So the finish will be great now. But I'm looking forward to going to see that. It's going to take me probably a time or two to get used to it, but I like the sound of it.
You can chip in from anywhere, Max. It's okay.
Max, Scott Marsh here with Sactown Sports. Obviously, it's been a big year for you already, but you have so much coming up, like you talked about with the FedEx and then the Fortinet and then Ryder Cup coming up after that. How do you look at the next couple months and how excited are you about it?
Oh yeah, I'm really excited. Obviously, this is a cool time of the year with the playoffs upcoming. But I guess it's kind of like anything else. You put your head down and put one foot in front of the other and just keep doing what you've been doing. It's easy, I think, to get ahead of yourself and get overly amped up and excited. But at the end of the day, what got you here is that process based mindset, just putting the work in and trusting that it's going to work when the bell goes off. So that's what my plan is. But I mean, there's definitely going to be some sleepless/excited nights of the things to come.
No more questions. You know, Max, when I've talked to Jim over the course of the last couple of years, he always speaks very glowingly of you as a Fortinet ambassador. And just with the few moments that you've spent with us today, I've begun to understand why he is so excited. You are an incredible human being, and we appreciate your love of the game, your love of the media, and wish you the greatest success the rest of the year. Certainly here at the Fortinet, I think we'll all be pulling for you to go 3 in a row.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you guys for having me today. I hope you guys all have a lovely day.
It's the Golf to Go Hour with Frank LaRosa on Sactown Sports.
You are listening to the Golf to Go Radio Hour here on Sactown Sports 1140. I am Frank LaRosa, along with Scott Marsh. And Scott, an old friend of ours, Mr. Adam Johnson, the owner of Golf Fitness Solutions, is here with us to talk about golf fitness, obviously, because that's something he knows about, and also a big fundraiser he's doing coming up in a couple of weeks at Northridge Country Club, which is a big poker fundraiser. Adam, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Frank. Thanks, Scott. How you guys doing?
We're doing well. And you?
Oh, I'm just hanging out, having fun, putting together a poker tournament and getting ready to do a little workout before I head out of town this weekend, which turns out to be a good idea because I hear it's going to be 105.
Yeah. So, when you ask me how I'm doing, and I'm thinking I'm well, I'm wondering, gee, was I supposed to say I'm not doing well? So that's a lead in for you to say, well, you're not in good shape, and I can help you with that.
I would never dare to say something like that.
You know, Adam, there's obviously a wide range of people that can play the game. And that's what's one of the things that we love about it, that you can play as as the youngest junior and the oldest senior. As long as you can get out and keep the ball moving down the middle of the fairway, everybody has fun. But, you know, if you really want to get good at the game and you look at these professionals on television, one thing they all seem to have in common is a flat belly. And, the notion of a strong core and a really good golf game kind of go hand in hand for the most part. Certainly there's outliers or players that especially 20, 30, 40 years ago that didn't have the best physique, but they were pretty good players. But today, fitness is so important. What is it about, we keep talking about a strong core. What is it about a strong core and golf game that go together so well?
I think a lot of people would think that you needed to have a really strong core to be able to rotate, and not to say that you don't, but something that's often overlooked inside of your golf swing is your core is what creates your stability inside of your swing. When you're swinging a golf club, if you're doing it well and efficiently, you're rotating around your center. If your core is not strong enough, you're going to lose a lot of that. The big thing that I see from a lot of golfers, and probably the number one thing that causes issues in somebody's swing with a weak core or an unengaged core, and we'll get into that in a second, is what's called early extension, where the hips start moving towards the ball. And that can happen both on the takeaway or as we're taking our downswing. You might hear something simple as, hey, keep your head down, or, oh, you pulled your head up, or, you came out of that one. Those are all usually symptoms of early extension that can lead into other swing characteristics and can cause a lot of problems. Slightest one would be that you lose some power. Biggest one, anybody ever heard that S word that we don't like to say too much if we're golfers?
Rhymes with tank.
Something like that, yeah.
You know, I suppose if you think about it, we can get, if we don't understand, how important it is, we certainly make up our own reasons why we missed a bad shot. Oh, I lifted my head, as you say, or I dipped my head or whatever. And I'm hitting it fat all the time. And all of those are probably symptoms of, as you say, not holding yourself steady, especially into the downswing.
Yeah, I'd make a really bold statement on this one to say that a majority of swing characteristics, whether it's hitting a ball thin, hitting a ball fat, slicing a ball, hooking a ball more than you intend to, or really most of our missed contact, have a very, 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 very big impact coming from our lack of physical ability, whether it be mobility or stability. And the core is really interesting because of that stability and mobility element in it. Now, when you think about our early extension and things like that, where we're, you know, hitting the ball fat or we're not able to transfer power, a lot of that's because our abs aren't engaged. The other thing that I don't think that we think of a lot when we think about core is how prevalent low back pain is inside of a golf swing. And if I'm trying to rotate using my core, I'm going to rotate in my obliques and my abdomen and everything are going to kick in and they're going to help me rotate around my spine. Now, what you'll watch most amateur golfers, that's much different than what you'll see in pro golfers, is they'll rotate using the muscles in their low back. And you'll see what looks like a, we call it rock and roll at TPI. When Titleist talks about it, they'll talk about rock and rolling versus rotating. And what happens is we tilt and then we tilt and you'll see this thing that looks like a counterbalance. And a lot of that has to do with core dysfunction. Now, I think one of the biggest misconceptions is there's a difference between core dysfunction and not being able or not having abs, right? Everybody's got abs, regardless of whether or not there's a, you know, nice belly that are protecting it or anything like that, or that protective layer. It's how well we're able to engage them and how well we're able to use them in movements that aren't just standing. So that's where a lot of the training that we do here, Golf Fitness Solutions, comes in, is really teaching people how to move their bodies and how to engage muscles that help inside of the golf swing that they may already have. A perfect example would be taking a 70-year-old golfer who I'm not going to be able to put a ton of muscle on, but I can teach them how to use the muscle that they have, and I can make that significantly more efficient so that they're more mobile and therefore using more muscle, and they're actually going to be able to build more power inside of their golf swing just by activating the correct muscles and letting other muscles that are overactive calm down.
Scott, I know you do a lot of running, and I don't know if I'm mistaken here, Adam, but I would assume that runners probably have a good start on a good set of abs just in terms of holding themselves up as they're running.
Right. Yeah, there's something to go along with that. And I think I love this one because I use this with all my clients all the time. Most bodies, your body should work in a cross pattern where like my left shoulder is going to move forward as my left knee moves forward and vice versa. Good runners, and like Scott, you'll know this from the many that you do. If you're running a lot, your body is moving against each other. You also both see athletes all the time. If you watch athletes, let's say football players or basketball players walking into a game, you ever notice how we kind of look at them when we think of it as like swagger or, you know, they're kind of strutting a little bit? That's actually how a really efficient movement in a body actually works like. Now, unfortunately, because so many of us sit behind our screens and, you know, sit in front of the TV or just really don't do a lot of movement, we've gotten into this way where we just kind of move without moving anything. Our feet just kind of plop forward and forward and forward without ever actually picking them up. There's no hip rotation and nothing's really happening. So we kind of get in this weird position, and then we take it out to the golf course, don't warm up, hit about 45 balls, and then we wonder why we can't play good golf.
Scott, do you feel that the running helps you in your golf game?
I do. I feel like multidisciplinary, you know, workouts, whether it's running, swimming, you know, I love to do yoga. I feel like that all translates on the golf course. And, you know, when you talk about golf fitness, how much of flexibility is a component of golf fitness, Adam?
I'm one of those really picky guys. So I love flexibility, but I like to think of it in terms of mobility. And the reason I say that and make the distinction is, when I think flexibility, I think about how far I can move. You know, can I do the splits or whatever it is? What that doesn't tell me is what my range of motion is when I'm actively moving. And there's a big difference between it being able to bend, you know, all the way back and have the club pointed towards the ground like John Daly does. The difference is if I do that, I'm going to hurt myself. When he does that, he's generating power. So it's really different for everybody. You might have somebody like John Rahm who seems like they've got relatively limited mobility because they don't take a very big backswing, right? But if you actually test him, you'll notice that he's got an immense amount of mobility, but he still only uses the amount of mobility that he has that he can generate power from. So it's really important to think about being mobile out on the golf course, not necessarily flexible. And I recognize this is like one of my pet peeve kind of things. It's just because we talk about it all the time. Yeah. But I really do want to make sure that there's a focus when somebody's trying to train for golf, whether it's with me or on their own or whatever you're doing, really focus on the idea of mobility. It's not that you don't want to be flexible. That's obviously good for health, but sure, mobility is going to be what's big for you inside of a golf swing.
No, that makes a lot of sense. And, you know, John Daly had a great line. He says, you know, he can never really pull a muscle because how do you pull fat anyways? So, you know, maybe there's something to be said about that level of fitness, Adam.
If only that guy trained like Tiger, he might have been the best golfer we've ever seen in our lives.
No question. I've had the privilege of being out to your location there. You have a great setup out there in Carmichael, and I've gone through kind of the initial stages, and you really put a new potential person you're going to work with through a really in-depth process. You really get to know them before you really start working with them.
Yeah, I want to make sure that we're not trying to fix things that don't need to be fixed. And I want to make sure we're trying to fix things that need to be fixed. And everybody's different, right? Like, I'm not going to train a 71-year-old guy who's coming in with low back pain the same way I would train a 17-year-old junior who's getting ready to go to D1. Like, everybody moves differently, and we need to treat movement differently for everybody. You know, obviously, we all have things in common. The human body is the human body, but everybody's works slightly differently, and everybody's has slightly different capabilities than others. So we want to make sure that whenever we work with anybody, we take them through a full level one screen using the Titleist Performance Institute so that we can get an idea of how they're moving. And that way we know what exercises to figure out and what level of those exercises that we're using we should be giving to those people. Because obviously I do my in-person training, but one of the things that makes everything really effective is not just the stuff that I do here and teach people here, but what they do on their own at home. And I want to make sure that they're doing the right stuff at home so they get the best results possible.
We're talking with Adam Johnson, owner of Golf Fitness Solutions. Adam, I want to talk about this fundraiser before we run out of time here, but just give me, you know, as Scott mentioned, you know, your place is state of the art in terms of, you know, how you address exercise issues and fitness issues. But for those of us that might not be able to afford a trainer, can you give us a couple of tips that we can do at home to try and get ourselves in better golf shape?
Yeah, I think the most important thing that anybody at home can do, and you can look all three of these things up online, there's the three most basic movements inside of the golf swing. So number one, it looks ridiculous, but the most important movement in the golf swing to me is what's called the pelvic tilt. And it's just our ability to basically fold the pelvis up and down. It's how we maintain our posture. It has a lot to do with core control, like we were talking about. The next thing would be being able to twist our shoulders and do it disassociated from our lower body, and then our hips, and being able to twist our hips disassociated from our upper body. So you can think of that as torso twist or hip twist. If you can do those three moves, you've got a pretty good chance of being able to hit a golf ball pretty well.
All right. I'm starting on that tonight. You have been a supporter of the First Tee for many, many years, and you've been involved in a number of fundraisers, and you've actually put a couple together all by your lonesome with a couple of friends to be along for the fun. But what is this, the second year for your poker tournament?
Yeah, this is our second annual.
Yeah, and you invited Scott and I to be there last year, and it really was a lot of fun at Northridge Country Club, where it returns again on August 12th. But first of all, tell us what the tournament is all about, and the poker fundraiser, and why it is you feel it's important to support the First Tee.
Sure. So every year, for the past 3 years, I've had the honor of playing in the Capital Cup, representing the First Tee of Greater Sacramento. I've been a board member for almost 6 years now. And for those who don't know what the Capital Cup is, it's the second largest fundraiser in the Sacramento area. It's a big day of giving, which is a pretty tough one to beat. And it's me and 31 really important people in Sacramento getting to. And we play a tournament and raise a bunch of money for charities. Like I said, I get to play for the First Tee. And my way of trying to raise money for that is by putting together this poker tournament, our second annual. And last year was pretty crazy. We were just talking about how hard it is to get people to sign up. And then, you know, the week before it starts to go a little bit nutty. And fortunately, we're starting to get to that point now. But it's been a lot of fun. I love working with the First Tee. I didn't have the fortune of being part of the First Tee when I was growing up. I was part of junior golf out at Hagen. Now, had I been part of the first tee, I probably would be a much better person than I am today because of the core values that they teach. But that's my excuse. They weren't around when I was a kid, so I didn't have that opportunity. But because I get to do what I get to do, I run a company called Golf Fitness Solutions. Golf has done so much for me. This is a really, really easy way for me to give back to what golf has done for me and, you know, the next generation of golfers that are out there. I've had the pleasure of training one of the kids that went through the program when he was, I want to say he started up at 8. I've been training him since he was 17, and 3 months ago, he just went pro.
Wow. So
he's now played in 4 professional golf tournaments, and I've gotten to watch him from being a freshman in college, coming out of the first tee program, and now he's playing professional golf, and I'm talking to him while he's on the road playing in golf tournaments and figuring out what we need to do to get him to recover after a golf round and getting him ready for his next one.
All right, Scott, you were there last year. Tell our listener friends why they should go and what they're going to enjoy when they get there.
Well, I'm going to knock them out, first of all, so I don't know if that'll be that enjoyable or not, but they can have a chance of doing that if they want to. But no, it's just a great event, great time, good food, obviously. It's a great atmosphere. It's a great cause. Adam, you do a tremendous job putting that on. Get April 12th at Northridge. I encourage everybody to sign up for that. And it's just a great night. You know that, Frank.
You know, I was a little intimidated about going because I, you know, my poker skills, certainly since I left college, have diminished. But and the notion of playing Hold'em, you know, which is kind of an interesting game. Actually, after about 3 hands, you figure out what Texas Hold'em is all about. And I actually did pretty good. I was I had a pretty good pot until I got a little full of myself towards the end of the evening and went all in, and then I was all out. So, but you're right. It is a good time. Adam, how do people sign up?
It's real simple. Just go to firstteesacramento.org, and you'll see a tab for events page. And just click on there. It's the very first page, and it'll take you right to the sign up and information page.
Now, Adam, is your twin brother Joel Damon going to be there?
Joel and I spoke a while back, and unfortunately he's got a tournament this weekend. He's gonna be unable to make it. But you know, he sends us his best wishes.
Fair enough. Okay.
I can also tell you, for all those golfers out there, it's good to be in the golf business and have lots of friends. We have an overwhelming amount of rounds of golf available in our auction this year. I think there's 15 different foursomes available in our auction of some public courses and some courses that are not so easy to get onto, and some also very nice golf courses that are you're able to get onto, but aren't the cheapest to get onto. So we've got some really, really fun stuff. I can also tell you that the jerk that won last year will not be playing this year. He's going to be doing what he should be doing and helping host the tournament.
Well, there's obviously a lot of fun to be had. There's food, refreshments, some poker, and at the end of the day, you've done something really well, really good, I suppose, for people that that really need the help. And what First Tee does, and you know, in the lives of 50,000 juniors every year here in the Sacramento area, is just phenomenal. So our hats off to you and to the First Tee and to Northridge for letting you host the event there, especially knowing who you are. You know, the fact that they're going to let you come back again this year, I think is pretty remarkable.
I'm shocked every time they let me through the door.
Adam Johnson, owner of Golf Fitness Solutions. It's the poker fundraiser, August 12th at Northridge Country Club. If you want to join us, Scott, you're going to be there. I'm going to be there. And it's just take on your website, firstteesacramento.org, and sign up, and let's all have a good time. Adam, thanks for being with us.
Hey, thank you, guys.
That wraps up another edition of the Golf to Go Radio Hour here on Sactown Sports 1140. Scott Marsh, my buddy, along with Frank LaRosa. Scott, thanks for being with us again today. And we'll be, I don't know what we're going to do this week, and we'll be back with next week for more.
We'll figure it out, but we're going to have a good time somewhere flying, hopefully.
I like that. Play golf. Keep it in the fairway. Have some fun. More people are playing golf now than ever before. So if you haven't had a chance to play the game, give it a shot. I think you'll have fun.